Alma chapter 37.
Chapter, Alma gives the records to Helaman, tells him to take care of them, and he gives them a lot of counsel concerning these records, and that's best described by studying a couple phrases in verse 6. And Alma says, "Ye may suppose that this is foolishness in me," meaning that all these records were their journals, and it contained maybe just a lot of warring and other things, and they really couldn't see, just like we couldn't see if it was just our journals, what value they would be, and why anybody else would want to read them, especially when it contained things in it like it did just about the how the money was and things. Well, so the point is that when they're looking at it at the time, they don't seem to be of great value, but then to us, when Mormon abridges that, takes out the things that really apply to us, and then we read them in our times to see them things repeated to us, it has a lot more meaning. But the point still is that it's the this is the Lord's work, and he's going to pass on the information that he needs, and it wasn't for them to determine that. But then he says in verse 6 also that it's by small and simple things that the Lord brings about his great work. And again, what is it? It could be just a small passage here or there from what Alma or someone else says that really touches someone else's heart. That's why even if we do a commentary or if we wrote hundreds of thousands of pages that really explained every verse of the Book of Mormon, it's important for a person to read the Book of Mormon to feel those actual words of these men, because they will touch men's hearts differently. And when it does touch their hearts, that will be the thing that leads them unto Christ. And so it's always by a small little word. And that is our goal, is to lead someone unto Christ. And we go to Christ in our hearts. And that's all it's trying to do. But it also, this is also condemning the idea that it's not a big monument or wonderful temples and having many, many missionaries and putting on these tremendous films and having a big university and all these things that the church has. It's not those things that convert men. And we have to understand ourselves in just any of our work, that it's not some big, neat production that does it. It's the small one-on-one relationships where we really touch someone else's heart by opening ourselves up to them, and that's again, that's these scriptures is do we just look at them like, oh, they're just some journals and some old people that have nothing in meaning, that has no meaning to us, or do we really get into them and try and feel the heart of the other person so that it might touch our heart? And as it says then in verse 9, that the purpose is to bring people unto the knowledge of Christ and to bring them unto repentance, to have a desire to repent so that they can live and feel Jesus Christ. And again, the idea of being with the Lord and following him is a personal thing. The reason that we know that the Book of Mormon is talking mostly about following the Lord through personal revelation is because that's how those who have followed the Lord and gotten a special relationship with him have done that through personal revelation and by spending their daily life, not by some big deal, it's not by some big means or some glorious angel coming down, the Lord come and see him. It's the day in and day out small things of following the promptings of the Lord's Spirit that we continue to grow closer to him. Then in verses 12, it says that this is the Lord's work, that these records are for his purpose. And again, it's saying this because it might seem unreasonable to man. And especially, you know, these were heavy plates and all, and these guys have got to transport them all over. And they're thinking, well, it doesn't really seem that reasonable to have all these records, and especially when some of them are just telling who were in head of the armies and stuff and things that they thought were trivial. But nonetheless, they were for the Lord's purposes, and we do what the Lord wants, and no matter how unreasonable it seems to us. And then in verse 13 it says, he then appeals to Helaman again and says to follow the Lord, because if you do, then then ye shall prosper. And we have this over and over again. This is how we prosper. And if you don't follow the Lord, then you'll be cut off. Meaning, so there's your choices. It's either you to be cut off or to prosper. And so the point is that that you'll be taken, well taken care of in this life. There's nothing to worry about. You'll be protected and prospered and progressed. Everything will be taken care of in this life. Otherwise, you might have superficial riches or anything else, but you're going to lose your next life. And those are your only choices. Then in verses 14 through 16, he tells Helaman that he must view these records as being sacred again. They're not just journals. He tells him they're sacred, and that he needs to take care of them. And the way that he'll take care of those records is that he must appeal unto the Lord for all things whatsoever he must do with them. That's in verse 16. Again, we do it the Lord's way, not our way, and then the Lord can use his power to protect and preserve those records. Well, then he goes on in verses 21 through 26 to explain that there are evil things explained in these records, and that he is going to have this revealed to latter days through Joseph Smith here, and it's in this Book of Mormon to show us evil. The point is that the Book of Mormon contains the evil ways of men, the ways to look out, the thing to look out for. And in this section here, as in the rest of the Book of Mormon, these evil ways are mostly secret combinations. And again, this is what President Benson has told us, but we ignore them. We ignore them because we don't want because again, as it says, we partake of the spoils of these secret combinations. We think that's what's making us so rich today and giving us all these things and taking care of us. Besides that, these combinations allow one man to be held up above another, or we can have power. So what are the elements of these secret combinations again that we hear about? It's the idea of usurping power and authority, and we like that, and we like the power and authority in churches and in government and business, and talks us about plunder, and we ignore that. We want to ignore, see, these are things we want to ignore, and we want to ignore the wearing of costly apparel and so forth. So we want to ignore the things that are talked about of wickedness, that are the signs of wickedness. And so, therefore, we don't listen to the Book of Mormon, or again, take it serious, because it's obviously our wickedness that it's pointing to. But it also says that it then says in verse 18 that because we are doing all these things, that we're going to be destroyed. Meaning, if you're doing the things listed in the Book of Mormon, which we have seen clearly that we are, then we're going to be destroyed. We say, well, how come we haven't been destroyed then? And that's probably the same thing the Zoramite said, and it tells us in verse 28 that you must become fully ripe. But nonetheless, the Lord said, if you continue to follow and allow these things to be in your land, secret combinations, and then if you partake of these things, meaning the desire for power and plunder and wearing of costly apparel and so forth, then you are going to be destroyed. But he'll wait until you're fully ripe, and that's what he's waiting for right now. But again, he says, there is a curse on this land, meaning America, if you allow those things to be in this land. But then he said in verses 27, repeats in 29, and again in 32, that the actual secret oaths and covenants of these secret combinations are not to be divulged. Because he says if that was done, then surely it would... It would result in the destruction of the people. And again, to sit there and speculate on what they are is not good. But we can suspect that it does again give man power, gain, and glory by using them. And so, and then Alma counsels Helaman that he should do everything under the Lord. That he should that his thoughts should always be directed at what the Lord should want. And that's in verse 36, and that really sums that up a lot, that even our thoughts, everything that we're doing, everything we have in this life is directed to the Lord. And as it then says in verse 37, counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. But that's counsel. Counsel is not a one-way street. It means that we think and we study and we pray unto Him, and He then comes back to us and helps us understand where we're going, and if our thoughts are in error, and this is the way that we're to conduct our lives, and it is not by any other means. And if the leaders of the church or other people can help us with these thoughts and help redirect them and give us help in understanding the Spirit and the Lord, then that's good. But we are not to turn ourselves over to them, and that never has been the way of the Lord, and it is never mentioned to do that. And again, the reason I say that is because He has made that clear in His discussion with His sons over and over, to go to the Lord, do not go to man. In verses 38 through 44, He then tells the story of the Laodicea and repeats it. And He says it worked by faith, but it was by small means. We have to say, what do you mean by small means? I mean, if they had faith that following the Laodicea worked, then it indeed did work, and it led them properly. But we have to say, well, what was the opposite of this? And that is that obviously Laman and Lemuel, because it did mean they did make mistakes in not following, would say, well, wait a minute, why should we keep following this? Because you say it's going to lead me to food. Look over here in that valley over there. Look, I can see deer running right over there. And then they would say, then after having followed it for years, they say, listen, this is leading us nowhere. Isn't it obvious it's leading us nowhere? And I'm not just talking about Laman and Lemuel. The other ones begin to have doubts like that. It took faith. And the faith wasn't just that you had faith and then the thing pointed. It meant that you had to keep following where it was pointing and have faith that it was actually leading you in the right direction, and you kept going. But the Lord had prepared food for him along the way, it says, and He had it all laid out for them. And if they followed it, they did not hunger or thirst, but they would go along and at time to time and say, no, this just isn't reasonable again. And all he had to do was just have the faith to keep following it, and then it was no, and then when you consider this over years, it would seem to be a pretty trivial old thing. You get up and follow the compass and do what it says, but you kept doing it day in and day out, and it began to be a thing that seemed to be not of great importance. Well, then he goes on to say that this is the way it is with the Spirit, meaning we have these small promptings, and all we're doing is kind of staying in tune with the Spirit. In our lives, if we get used to being in tune with the Spirit, then we start saying, well, wait a minute, all I'm doing is just kind of following the Spirit, and I don't see any big thing happening in my life, and because we expect to have big things happening like happened in Alma's life, that we go out and convert many, or we have angels come to us, and all these things. And he's saying, no, if you're really following the Lord, and you're doing what's right. Remember, Alma was not doing what's right, and when he had to have his angel and stuff. But if you're doing really what's right, then it's just small means, and your day goes in and out, on and on, day after day, for your whole lifetime of just following these promptings of the Spirit, and that is the small means. But what will then happen that is big is then you'll notice that people will begin to afflict you and begin to attack you, and even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will begin to attack you and say, no, you need to follow us, and if you don't, we're going to throw you out of the church. And wow, this begins a big thing. You might even be forced out, and my, that's a big thing, see. And all of a sudden the big things are what are happening in opposition to you, and again notice that big things usually are affiliated or associated with evil, meaning either it's evil, the big thing is the evil against you, which then requires the Lord to do something big against it. But the big thing just wasn't due to your righteousness. You're not really, these big things that happen, a big angel coming down to talk to you. See, that was done to Alma because he was doing evil and needed that to change him. But he really had to pay for that then. Or here comes some whirlwinds down there to kill all the army that's coming to attack you. Or it's the big things of those attacking you, the Lamanites sending an army against you or something. Every one of these have to do with evil, meaning that the devil has did that against the righteous, or the Lord has did something to stop the evil coming against you. And again, if you're just living your small life, as far as being righteous, righteousness is based on doing little things and the little things in your heart and working in your little life and your little self. Not a big thing. And again, it's back to that adversity he had in the beginning, saying that we're not to look for where it's not a big. It's not the big productions of the church or the monuments, the temples, and all the missionaries and all that that bring about the work. It's the little things inside of your heart and the little things in you that are changing you day by day. And that's what is truly important. And this is not meant to be as lip service or said to be in... for you to feel something, to feel modest, but at the same time thinking, having pride that in the glory of some big thing happening. And that is exactly what it is. It's a pride to think that you are changed by the big things, and it's by the big things that the work of the Lord is done.